What is this? This is the wrong song.
What?
No, this is the wrong song. Welcome back. Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690.
No, it's the video.
That's what it was.
What?
It's like I've done it before as well, is that if you just play the music video.
Don't we have Chris Stapleton in the system ready to go? Why are we going to YouTube for it?
This is
okay.
Yeah,
Melnick
in
the John Still production.
Exactly. On TSN 690, we have for the second straight day, we have somebody who's never done the show. Not only never done the show, he's never been in the studio. Dean Bertoia. Aaron Ward is laughing. I can hear him laughing already. John Still always laughs. Mitch Melnick with you until 7 o'clock. Bruno Gervais coming up in soon. And then Arpan Basu will join us after 6 o'clock. Just before we said goodbye to Aaron Ward, we were talking about the Battle of the Sunshine State and how important it was for the Panthers to even it up, because there's no way they could go 0-2 at home and then come back and win 4-5 against the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning. And he said, no, he thinks they could do it.
Play down in the corner, forcing up the boards. Kucherov trying to find it. At the point, kept in. Kucherov, back to the net, center, and it goes!
And that sets up this. Backside pressure by Rudick. Gets the puck down low. But how about that pass from Kucherov? Are you kidding me?
Ross Colton with 3 seconds to go.
With
Aaron Ward.
Bring him up.
Oh, I didn't know.
No, we need an intro. Hold on, Aaron.
On.
We need an intro,
Jesus.
Man. You know, it wasn't like
Aaron
this for
Ward,
2 hours.
Brought to you by
what
Burger
happened?
Bar Crescent.
I made it very
Tons
clear.
Of delicious
that was
ways
not
to enjoy gourmet burgers, wings, mac and cheese, and more. Indoor, outdoor, pickup and delivery. See the menu and get hungry at MontrealBurger.com.
Apologies to Maury Baker and everybody at Burger Bar Crescent. How you doing, Aaron?
I'm good. You actually have me trained, so when Simon fills in for you, I actually don't start talking until, because Simon screws it up every single time. There's no drop. So we have to wait for Simon to realize, or someone to indicate to Simon the drop's coming. And so
right.
That's why I wasn't talking.
Okay. Thank you for that professionalism. This
oh, yeah.
Much needed professionalism here.
You've trained me like a dog.
No more professionalism the rest of the way.
I'm out of here, by the way. There's like back-to-back working with people I don't even know what their name is. I'm out of here next week. I will not be here next week. All right. So how about that, Aaron? You know, there's kind of like a PS to your answer. I understand what you were saying. The Panthers have led from wire to wire. They're a really good team, but it wasn't just losing. The manner in which they lost, you still maintain they could win 4 or 5 going into Tampa.
Yeah, because it's dumb. What they're doing is dumb. It's just it's inexplicable, dumb plays, and it's capped off by, was it Weegar who left in that front?
Well, I was going to ask you, the longtime NHL defenseman, 3-time Stanley Cup winner, as brilliant a pass, behind-the-back pass as it was from Kucherov, how in the world, at that time of the game, does Ross Colton stand there with nobody within like 5 feet of him?
Well, here's my bigger complaint is that, and I didn't catch the mics, but if I'm a teammate on the bench, I'm yelling out the time, and it doesn't really help Kucherov any more than, I mean, you already know what play the Tampa's going to try and get. With less than 5 seconds, you're trying to steer the puck to the net front and create an opportunity for at least the benefit of the defenseman who's facing away from the clock, and he's got a player behind the net. Listen, it's a complete brain fart for a guy to go behind the net to begin with, but to not know that you should be standing there with 3 seconds left, because there's no reason to go back there at that point. You've just got to make sure you let the clock run out. I'm at a loss. And I think there's a level of exasperation for Brunette. I mean, I saw him kind of answering the questions at the end. There's a realization that he has to take some different mental approach or some different motivational approach for this team going into Tampa. And, hey, listen, they've gone through some adversity. They had Ekblad out of the lineup. They've gone through a major change over the course of the season of having, you know, an established, well-known, stern-type coach leave in kind of a really distracting manner and have a young guy come in and take over who – has to establish himself from being one role on the team as an assistant coach, which is generally everybody's friend, know what's going on in their life. You're very approachable to not having to create an artificial line of division between players and coaches as a head coach, because you got harder decisions to make and you can't take into account the feelings of players. So a lot's going on. This team has gone through adversity. I still believe that they can do this. I believe this is going seven. I'm not firmly believing that Florida's definitely still going to come back and win. I just can't imagine they're just going to fizzle out, because if they fizzle out, this will be one of the biggest letdowns in terms of potential greatness in the playoffs. Like I had designs on Florida challenging Colorado, and we're going to have an incredible series of two deep teams, and Florida's really coming up lame, and clearly Colorado showed some weaknesses yesterday.
All right, we'll get to that in a bit. And again, your questions for Aaron Ward at 11690 in just a couple of minutes. But again, to the two-time defending champions trying to do something that hasn't been done since the early 80s.
I mean, that's just a sacrifice at this time of the year. So, unfortunately, that's just the expectation of our group. And when everyone's doing it, no matter the situation in the game, it's contagious, and guys are stepping up, whether it's an amazing penalty kill at the end, block shots, taking a hit to make a play. Guys are willing to do that, and that's a great trait to have as a team.
No kidding. Aaron, you were part of a group that was able to do it in 06. Imagine that, more or less the same group doing it again in 07 and trying to do it again in 08.
Well, I went through it in 96, 97, 98. We were back-to-back, and we couldn't get it done in 98, 99. The thing that struck me in what he just said was the second quality of a player or a teammate that he's seeing on the ice, and that's block shots. So it reminds me, as I watch Tampa, and I saw Nate Thompson put some kind of statement out on, I think it was Twitter, about the greatness of Steven Stamkos.
I did.
The thing that exists on a team is when your guys who aren't expected to do it over and above what they should be doing, because they have a certain role in the team, and if they don't exercise that role, if they're not successful at that role, your team's not going to win. Not only are they putting up the goals and the points and creating the offense, but now you see Steven Stamkos going down on one knee. You see Kucherov getting in shot lanes. I mean, points out injured, and he's trying to come back and play on whatever injury he has. It looked pretty gross. I think what you see is a team that's selling out, and there's a realization that they understand the adversity and the difficulty of that climb to try and get to three, but they're doing an incredible job from a front end of sacrificing. But let's just be honest about what Tampa is right now. Tampa is a team with Hedman, Sergachev, McDonough, Chernak. The decor is drastically limiting what Florida is capable of doing. And I said, it's a three-headed monster. It's a little deeper than that. I wouldn't have expected them to have controlled on the road the Florida offense like they have. It helps clearly Vasilevsky is kind of regaining his form. And you can see the battle in his game, and the team's playing with confidence because you can see they got the old guy back. But the decor between the goaltending and the forwards, the decor is solidifying all of this. And I think there's a level of frustration right now for Florida, especially at home, right? You want to go put on a show, not a Calgary Flames Edmonton show with 15 goals, but you want to put on a show and put some goals up and get some excitement, entertainment. They can't even manufacture that emotion in the building because Tampa is neutralizing and stifling them on the road so effectively.
Three-time Stanley Cup winner, yes, with Carolina in 06, and as you heard, with the Red Wings. Before we get to your questions, John, still.
And the other thing there, Aaron, is the guy who Steven Stamkos kind of was taken under the wing by was now the Montreal Canadiens head coach, Marte St. Louis. But I don't know if you can say, I mean, John Cooper certainly has a lot to say in how exactly the Lightning play. But for Kucherov to go from being really a periphery figure in that series against Toronto, and then just to kind of turn it on in a whole nother way when Braden Point's out of the lineup. It's just like you mentioned the blue line, and then the fact that you lose basically your top centerman and the Kucherovs of this world take it to a whole nother level. It's just, at some point, it's almost just unfair to watch the Lightning play.
Yeah, it is. It almost like it was roll call that he realized that it was his turn. His number was up, and that he had to guide this team because essentially this team isn't going to go anywhere if they're not getting a balanced attack in any capacity. So it's interesting. It is incredibly interesting to watch Kucherov play right now because you can see it's like he's ramping it up, right? Getting back to that irritating kind of personality that you remember him, you know, kind of taunting the Montreal Canadiens from last year. So this is interesting how it's going. Before we get to the questions, I just want to ask Mitch a question.
Yes.
Did you hate the Colorado game? Because if you watch those goals, Mitch, guys were throwing pucks. They're throwing pucks to the net and they're going off people. I mean, even the third goal on Perron went off the goalie. It was deflected. I mean, you must have been bored last night.
No, I love that game. I love David Perron. David Perron's one of those guys. We just finished talking about him in the last 20 minutes. He's one of those guys that was never properly appreciated. And the older his game has improved with age, which is rare for a guy to hit 30 and get better as a hockey player. And he was passed over twice by Montreal as a free agent. They didn't think he had enough pace to succeed in today's NHL. Idiots.
It was interesting. I want to know the story. So TBS, Turner was interviewing Perron, and he had Tocchet as a coach. And there was a little passive-aggressive in some of his answers. I was like, oh, there's a story here.
Oh.
So I think that, oh, yeah. So where did Tocchet have him? Tocchet had him in Pitt. He had him in Pitt. So that was. I'm like, oh, I got to do some digging and find out what's going on.
Yeah,
so
was that a trade deadline? Clear. Was that a trade deadline move by Pitt? They always seem to make those moves.
Well, there was a shot taken at Tocchet about how effective Perron is on the power play, and there was some like something said like, well, let's see what happens when someone gives me a chance or something like that. I was like, oh, damn!
I totally forgot he was
fired. Shots fired on TV.
All right, let's investigate this. But in the meantime, Perry and Stamkos at the podium post-game together, and they were asked if anything that Kucherov does surprises them.
No.
No.
I've said it all season long. I just shake my head and laugh. And he did it again tonight. I mean, those are plays that not too many guys can see or do or make. You know, guys want to do it, but they can't make that play, but he can. And he just continues to amaze.
Questions, quirky fact-finding, or just curious about his stance on pineapple on pizza. It's AAA Friday. Ask Aaron anything with Aaron Ward.
You all set? I can't hear you. Aaron.
I'm right here.
Okay. Yeah. No, you faded out there. It's those damn pods again. For Aaron, this is from...
It's not...
It's this is from Mojo Len, good friend of the radio station, and a lot of people around here. Aaron, I hate painting. What do you really just hate? If you're into painting, I could use a hand at my daughter's place. Love the segment.
I don't have an issue with painting because painting, like mowing your lawn, you can see your progress, right? It's right in front of you. You see the perfect lines you can see as you paint the wall. Thing I hate doing the most, honestly, that's a tough one. I hate cleaning my car because the truth is my house is impeccable. My car looks like a dumpster fire. Like between having kids in it and me on a whim tossing something on the floor, there's a science experiment somewhere in my car that can probably solve some medical issues in this world.
And then throw in a dog as well, right?
Oh yeah. The dog hair makes it even better. When something tacky in dog hair, oh yeah. Eventually it looks like I have a furry animal in the car somewhere.
Michelle in Saint Laurent, if your liver could talk, what would it say to you?
thank God you quit while you did. Oh, my liver could talk. If my liver could talk, they would have said, you should have stopped drinking before games way sooner.
What do you mean by this? You mean the night before?
The night before. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I told you my philosophy. I was like, I was always the guy. Most guys went out to loosen their legs out and pregame skate. I was trying to work off my hangover. I figured over time. It's a really dumb philosophy now as I get older. But I had a couple extra pops, and I would go back to hotel, and sometimes I might have a little headache. The truth is, I found when I was nice and relaxed, and I had to focus on maybe my hangover, I didn't focus on the game, and I was a better hockey player. I convinced myself of that. Now I know how to exercise some limitations here.
We're going out to British Columbia, Courtney, B.C. Are you secretly cheering for a team to win the Cup this year? Mine is St. Louis. I don't think Aaron is secretly
not at all
cheering for Carolina.
Did you not see what he was doing? He threw his shoulder out there.
Well, here's the thing. I got asked, and again, when I got the call on Thursday, so for people who don't know, Game 7, I did the siren. And I was really confused because we've established in this radio station I have a love-hate relationship with a fan base overall, because some I'm good with, a healthy population I've more or less blocked completely out of my life, not only on Twitter, but just in general. So when I got asked to do it, I was absolutely sure the organization was trying to call Cam and not Aaron, but I took it anyways because it was Game 7. If I was to pick another team beyond the Canes, because I want for my kids to experience that, right? All three of my kids are up in this whole Canes excitement. I would go with Colorado. I would love to see all those. I appreciate Landeskog as a captain. I love McKinnon. I like, from what I see about Bednar, I like everything about that. I like an environment and a market like that to win a cup and enjoy that. And I love the skill set that Colorado possesses.
Number one, we got it worked. Yeah, I know it's skated, so that makes everything more difficult. But similar, I would guess, to like Game 1, I thought we were the quicker team. I thought we worked extremely hard. And that was like probably their biggest adjustment, right? They needed to get that work out of their group. They got it, and so they were much better, and we were worse.
For those of you who packed it in early, Jared Bednar, coach of the Avalanche, St. Louis, I don't want to say it was an easy win, but I think it was a lot easier than people thought. And they've evened the series, which takes us to Still's poll, his poll question of the day, before we return to questions for Aaron Ward on Melnick in the afternoon. Bruno Gervais will join us in about 15 minutes.
Yeah, Aaron, not a lot of people agreeing with you in terms of the Panthers and Lightning. Which second-round series is most likely to go 7 games? Panthers and Lightning are in last place right now.
Most likely to go 7. It's not going to be Calgary-Edmonton because Edmonton can't stop a nosebleed. Carolina, I would probably say, what do you got, Carolina-Florida? That one. I'm going to go with Carolina, New York.
That's what I picked.
Yeah, and that is.
I feel like we're on the verge. I feel like we're on the verge of New York figuring something out. New York in that game shocked me at how able they were to limit the time and space of the Carolina Hurricanes, and it literally frustrated them for 2 entire periods. And I almost looked like it was unsolvable, and then something happened for Carolina. So I'm interested to see how this game plays out.
8 p.m. start, late start, 8 p.m., and it's 10:30, Game 2, Edmonton at home to Calgary. Vess in Ottawa Hall, AAA, why haven't the Canadians named Marty St. Louis coach yet?
I'm baffled, too. I mean, wouldn't you want continuity right now? Wouldn't you want the guy who's going to be a head coach to settle himself in permanently, get his family in, know what your outlook on the organization is, put his imprint on it? Like, yeah, hey, listen. Personally, Montreal, wake up. Like, I'm trying to get over there to give you guys an analytics demo, and until you get your housekeeping done, I'm sitting here in my sales department waiting for you guys to figure out what you're doing. So
well, you're going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait until the World Hockey Championships are over. I have a feeling once they are and they return to Montreal is when we'll get the announcement, and maybe you could pitch them a job. Hey, Aaron, from Max and NDG, who do you think will win a playoff series first, the Canadians or the Maple Leafs?
Oh well, hey, listen, because I just talked about analytics and going by the numbers, the team that was most recently won Montreal. So I believe they make some off-season acquisitions, and I think they're of course this is heavily influenced by the fact that I have a disdain for Manny's team. I'm gonna go with Montreal.
Manny's team. He's going to open up a bar because of everything you've done. Manny's team.
I love the fact that anytime I mention Manny's name, that an entire population of Montreal just piles on him. Absolutely donkey punches him all over Twitter about the fact that we rag him on the radio.
He's going to name the bar.
And guess what?
Oh my God!
What? What was that? John stepped on you, so I didn't hear what you said.
Yeah.
What?
Well, I honestly feel like we've got to name a segment after Manny, like Loser Takes or something like that. Like
yes, voiced by John.
Had no
actually.
Idea what he was talking about. Well, hey, there you go. Every month, you should take my worst prediction and call it the Manny Take.
All right. Given the new roommates, writes Charlie in Montreal, these two guys are going to move in together in LaSalle. When are you moving in?
Next Sunday.
All right.
I'm already there.
Given the new roommates, does Aaron recall any teammates that lived together that resulted in any crazy stories?
Oh. So, Vlasicek, God rest his soul, and Yaroslav Svoboda. Both young Czechos, they lived together. They had never in their lifetime done a dish. So once they got through their dishes, they went and bought new dishes. So they bought another set. They didn't bother to wash them. They bought a new set. And then they got through those ones and didn't clean those ones. They went to paper plates. So legit, like we found it. So it took us a couple months. Someone went over there. I can't remember who it was. One of our veteran guys went over there like to do something with them. And he got in there and was like, guys, we got to have an intervention. Like, I don't know if they're just dumb or lazy, but either way, this just can't happen. So it was, the stories were, like, same thing with laundry. So they were buying new clothes instead of actually washing their laundry.
All right, guys, you guys have this schedule worked out? It's very important. Elliot Price and I lived together in the early 80s, okay? Mm-hmm. And we were, you know, it was his turn to do the dishes, and he didn't do them. And they piled up. And I absolutely refused to do them. And we had this is the absolute truth. We didn't have a single dish left. I was still not going to do the dishes. Fungus started growing out of the bottom of the sink under the last dish in the sink. Honestly, it was fungus. And that was it. That was the last straw.
Oh, it's happened before with roommates of mine. Absolutely. For some reason, it is the last straw. It is something that people will hang on to right until the bitter end, is if someone says they're going to do dishes and they don't, then it's every single day. But luckily, technology for the most part with the dishwasher, it's very
simple. I have an 18-year-old that sits and plays video games, and he puts these drinks on the left side of the chair so you can't see it in the wall in the chair. There was a smoothie that stayed there, I didn't know, for 2.5 months, and there was a smell. Now, he didn't do anything about the smell. He could care less. It was finally the dog who thought there was a dead animal back there. He was going around the chair he sat in to approach it like he was about to have to pounce on something.
Yeah, he was digging and digging and scratching his paws. I get it. All right, final one from your favorite city in Toronto. Deke in Toronto, AAA Friday. Hey there, radio favorites. Do you share a birthday with a proper celebrity? I share a birthday with Trump, believe it or not.
James Earl Jones, I've got a bunch. I'm January 17th. Is Hank Aaron January 17th, I think, also?
Who?
Is Hank Aaron? I think Hank Aaron's on my birthday. I think James Earl Jones. January 17th has a litany of famous people.
Maybe we can get James Earl Jones to voice the intro to Manny's Takes.
University of Michigan, boys. He's one of my favorite actors, too.
I'm January 18th. And I also have a lot of them, too. I got the Moose, Mark Messier. I've got Cary Grant. And I have Pep Guardiola.
Cary Grant, noted acid dropper.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Was that in the Hitchcock movies or no?
No. He was into hallucinogens with Diane Cannon, his wife at the time.
Those are the details Melnick brings that we can't live without. This guy likes to strip down naked on mushrooms.
All right. Enjoy the weekend, Aaron. I know you always do. We'll talk again on Monday. Enjoy all the games.
Look forward to it, guys.
Thank you. It's not been easy time.